Hi everyone, and welcome back to another one of my podcasts. I've just spent a month without my turntable. After 30 years, it suddenly went fat, and it cost me a lot of money to get it mended. But I'm able to play records again, thank goodness. I'd like to begin with a special record that I bought almost by accident a couple of months ago. In the early days of recording, there were 7-inch records, which still exist as 45s, 10-inch records, and 12-inch records. They were the common sizes, they still are. In between, some of the continental labels, such as Phonotypia, between what they would have regarded as 20 and 30 centimetres, there was the 25 centimetres, 10.5-inch records that are quite common on the Phonotypia label. But just for a while, they tried a 35 centimetre record. That's 13 inches, the size almost of a small tea tray. And the idea was, of course, that they could have longer recordings, up to 5 minutes or so, and therefore that the singer or musician could play at a normal speed without having to speed up. The trouble is they were huge and probably expensive, and they didn't sell very well. So they are pretty rare now. I recently bought some records from somebody who didn't really know anything about 78s. Somebody's collection had been put up for sale. And amongst the ones I didn't have were two records of Alessandro Bonci, a tenor who was a great singer of his time, and I've never played on my podcast before. And they were 13 inches. They turn out to be very valuable, and I only had to pay £5 for each one of them. Alessandro Bonci, 1870 to 1940. Just a little older than Caruso, he was regarded as a rival, but really they were very different singers. He belongs to an earlier school of singing, and sometimes the recordings I've had seem to suggest he had a high vibrato, and yet on his later recordings he survived much longer than Caruso, and recorded electrically, that vibrato doesn't seem to be there, so it may be just the effect of the recording horn. But on this recording that I'm going to give you, again, it doesn't sound to be that prominent. This is from 1905, a 13-inch record of him singing Cielo e Mar. Incidentally, in 1914, he was one of the judges at a famous singers' contest, a bit like, I suppose, the 1914 version of today's X Factor, but just for opera singers, and they had judges who really knew what they were talking about and could do it themselves. So Alessandro Bonci helped award the prize to a young up-and-coming tenor called Beniamino Gigli. Anyway, be that as it may, this is Bonci at his best, I suppose. He would have been 35. That's usually when tenors are at their best. Alessandro Bonci on a rare Phonotypia recording of 1905 singing Cielo e Mar.
Thank you.
Alessandro Bonci was very much a singer of his time, or even of earlier times. He sang in the bel canto tradition. He was certainly not a revolutionary the way that, say, Caruso was. The chap I'm going to play a recording of now couldn't be more different. This is one of the great leaps I like to make in my podcasts. John Burks Gillespie, later known as Dizzy, was born in 1917 and died in 1993. He started off in the best of the swing bands, which is why he was always able to play that sort of music. After his generation, nobody seems to be able to play that sort of music anymore, unless of course they specialize in it and nothing else. He based his style on the playing of Roy Eldridge, who came just before him. But I think that he was really upset about the racialism still, well, it still exists in the USA, and certainly at that time. And he wanted to play a music that none of the white musicians could even try to play. They did in the end, but not for a while. In so doing, he used modern harmony and all sorts of things. I believe he took lessons with Mary Lou Williams in harmony. He also had a great sense of humor, which always bubbles up somehow. I have played you one of his tracks before, and now, again, Dizzy Gillespie and his other genius friend, Charlie Parker, do their version of a tune known as Salt Peanuts, because that's its name. It's not one of the great songs of all time, and it's based on standard old-fashioned American songbook chord sequences, but of course, the little tune he's put over the top of it is nothing like what you would regard as a song, and is really just there as something to hang improvisation on. You can hear here what a brilliant technician he was, and of course Charlie Parker was too. For my money, it's even more difficult doing it on a trumpet, but maybe that's just my limited knowledge. Be that as it may, this is Dizzy Gillespie with Charlie Parker playing Salt Peanuts, recorded somewhere around the late 40s, I believe.
Salt peanuts. Thank you.
Well, everybody's heard of Dizzy Gillespie, if you know anything about jazz, and any lover of opera records of the past will know the name Alessandro Bonci. However, now I'm going to play a recording of somebody that probably hardly anybody remembers anymore. His name was Alfred Lester. He was born in Nottingham. His father, Alfred Leslie, and his wife, an actress whose stage name was Annie Ross, nothing to do with the current jazz singer of the same name, and it seemed almost a given that he would end up on the stage. He was born in 1874 and died in 1925. People didn't seem to live too long in those days. This was in fact recorded in 1923, just 2 years before his demise. His career seemed to be a mixture of being in musicals, reviews, and music hall, until, as I say, he died as a result of pneumonia at the age of just 50. What's fascinating about this recording is he was very, very much a British music hall performer, yet somehow he got hold of a song which became so famous that everybody sang it all over the place, and his recording is literally a week after it was published in America, written by a couple of normal American-type timpanale songwriters. The song is, of course, Yes, We Have No Bananas. Apparently, this was inspired by hearing a guy who was from Greece who had a fruit and vegetable shop in America and seemed to be incapable of starting any sentence without the word yes. Well, it certainly worked for the songwriter, but this is the British version of it, and he adopts what he fondly imagines to be a Greek accent in order to make it funny. This is obviously a record that sold well because the copy that I got has been well and truly played, and I had real difficulty getting rid of all the noise. I must apologize for the sound quality, but nevertheless, it's interesting to hear Alfred Lester having a go at this song literally a week after it was published on the other side of the herring pond. So here we have his version of Yes, We Have No Bananas, a song which is probably, even today, remembered by many people. Alfred Lester was born in 1874, and just 2 years later, in Italy, Giuseppe Anselmi was born, and sadly he didn't fare much better than Alfred Lester. He also was taken off by pneumonia in 1929. Remember, there was no antibiotics back then, which is why people are so worried about germs now being able to fight off the antibiotics of today. Giuseppe Anselmi had all of the fairies at his birth. He grew up to have absolute Hollywood film star good looks, almost feminine good looks, and naturally this made him very, very popular with especially female opera goers. But he was much more than that. He had a wonderful lyric voice, which he discovered almost by accident. He was actually studying violin and piano at the Naples Conservatory as a teenager, and then he joined an operatic troupe just for fun which toured Italy in the Middle East. He was heard by the music publisher Giulio Ricordi, and he said, why don't you take some lessons about singing with Luigi Mancinelli, who was in fact one of the great conductors of the time, a sort of rival of Toscanini. Well, it worked, and he soon became a huge name, and there's a rumour that he, to connect it with the last track, apparently made his debut in Greece in 1896, when he would have been 20. I suppose it's possible. But he really made a proper debut in Genoa in 1900. He was, in fact, from Sicilia, Sicily. But after 1900, his career took off quickly, and he was signed to Fonotipia, the same label of which I've been speaking earlier. And like Bonci, he became known as a singer of the bel canto school, the earlier operas. And his recordings, as you'll hear right now, show a wonderful lyric voice. But anything he made after about 1909, and you begin to hear something going wrong with the voice. My personal theory is that, like many lyric tenors, he started to try to sing operas that were too heavy on the voice, and that he ruined the wonderful instrument that he had. Nevertheless, some of his records are wonderful. Here he's singing a wonderful song called Tre Giorni Che Nina, a song that was also recorded by Caruso. In fact, that's where I first got to hear it. So you'll hear him, probably one of the last recordings he made with his voice intact. Giuseppe Anselmi wasn't just famous in Italy, he sang in London, where he gradually became popular, and particularly, of course, in St. Petersburg in pre-revolutionary Russia, where he was singing often with Lina Cavalieri, who was regarded as the most beautiful woman in the world at the time. So the two of them must have been wonderful to see on stage, if nothing else. He was also popular in a range of towns from Warsaw to Madrid, where some people even preferred him there to Caruso. He finally stopped singing towards the end of World War I and spent his last years teaching and also returning to his love of music in general, composing. But I've never heard his compositions, to be honest. This then is Giuseppe Anselmi. I'm surprised that I haven't played you a record of him before. It's a beautiful voice. This recording, as I say, from 1909. And now another leap in years and genre. This is the late 40s, and I'm going to play you, because I haven't played you anything by him for a couple of years, a great track by Louis Jordan. I won't say too much because this is a double-sided 78, so it's long. Louis Thomas Jordan, born 1908, died in 1975 at the age of 66 from a heart attack. He, first of all, was in the various bands, I suppose, but particularly in the Chick Webb band, where he sang alongside Ella Fitzgerald. They sang together later on. And after that, he formed his immortal Timpani Five. And in many ways, the rhythm and blues, as it was called back then, became the inspiration for both white and black people who played what they called rock and roll. Chuck Berry certainly acknowledged his influence. He was actually a first-rate alto player, a first-rate jazz singer, wrote quite a few of his own hits, and because he often made little films of the songs which were then hits, you could say that he was the father of the pop video. A lot of his stuff has comedy at its source, which in a way denigrates his reputation. I know what it's like. As soon as you do something that's funny, they want you to do something that's funny all the time and don't want you to do anything else. Anyway, this is one of his entertaining, sort of funny songs about Saturday Night Fish Fry, recorded with his wonderful swinging Timpani Five in the late 40s. Louis Jordan.
Now, if you've ever been down to New Orleans, then you can understand just what I mean. Now, all through the weekend,
as quiet as a mouse, but on Saturday night they go from house to house. You don't have to pay the usual admission if you're a cook or a waiter or a good musician. So if you happen to be just passing by, stop in at the Saturday Night Fish Fry.
It was rocking. It was rocking. You never seen such scuffling and shuffling till the break of dawn. It was rocking. It was rocking. You never seen such scuffling and shuffling till the break of dawn.
Now my buddy and me was on the main stem, fooling around just me and him. We decided we could use a little something to eat, so we went to a house on Rampart Street. We knocked on the door and it opened with ease, and a lush little miss said, "Come in, please." And before we could even bat an eye, we were right in the middle of a big fish fry.
It was rocking. It was rocking. You never seen such scuffling and shuffling till the break of dawn. It was rocking. It was rocking. You never seen such scuffling and shuffling till the break of dawn.
Now the folks was having the time of their life, and Sam was jiving Jimmy's wife, and over in the corner was a beat up grand being played by a big fat piano man. Now some of the chicks wore expensive frocks, some of them had on bobby socks, but everybody was nice and high at this particular Saturday Night Fish Fry.
It was rocking. It was rocking. You never seen such scuffling and shuffling till the break of dawn. It was rocking. It was rocking. You never seen such scuffling and shuffling till the break of dawn.
Now my buddy and me, we fell right in and we hollered, "Let the joy begin." Now we figured this was a good place to play, 'cause the party was already underway. But all of a sudden the lights went low, and everybody made straight for the front door. Man, I was so scared I didn't know where to go. I stood right there, then I fell on the floor.
It was rocking. It was rocking. You never seen such scuffing and shuffling till the break of dawn. It was rocking. It was rocking. You never seen such scuffing and shuffling till the break of dawn.
Now the women was screaming and jumping and yelling, the bottles was flying and the fish was smelling, and way up above all the noise they made, somebody hollered, "Better get out of here, this is a raid." I didn't know we were breaking the law, but somebody reached over and hit me on the jaw. They had us blocked off from the front to the back, and they were putting them in the wagon like potato sacks.
It was rocking. It was rocking. You never seen such scuffling and shuffling till the break of dawn. It was rocking. It was rocking. You never seen such scuffling and shuffling till the break of dawn.
I knew I could get away if I had a chance, but I was shaking like I had the St. Vitus dance. Now I tried to crawl under a bathtub when the policeman said, "Where you going now, bub?" Now they got us out of there like a house of fire, put us all in that black mirage. Now they might have missed a pitiful view, but they got both me and my buddy too.
It was rocking. It was rocking. You never seen such scuffling and shuffling till the break of dawn. It was rocking. It was rocking. You never seen such scuffling and shuffling till the break of dawn.
We headed for jail in a dazed condition. They booked each one of us on suspicion. Now my chick came down and went for my bail, and finally got me out of that rotten jail. Now, if you ever want to get a fist in your eye, just mention a Saturday Night Fish Fry. I don't care how many fish in the sea, but don't ever mention a fish to me.
It was rocking. It was rocking. You never seen such scuffling and shuffling till the break of dawn. It was rocking. It was rocking. You never seen such scuffling and shuffling till the break of dawn.
cowboy.
Louis Jordan. That was recorded, actually, I believe, in 1950, to be precise. And only 3 years later, the following record was made. It was sung by Amália Rodrigues. I've often played you Brazilian records. This one is from Portugal. And Amália Rodrigues is by far the most successful international Portuguese singer that there's ever been. She was known as Queen of the Fado. This song is a fado. It was written by Ferrão and Galhardo, but of course it's better known in English-speaking countries as April in Portugal, and it was an international hit. All sorts of people sang this song later on. This is the original recording, however, the one which tells you how a fado should be sung. There's a lot of influences in Brazilian music. One of them is, of course, Portugal, if for no other reason than that they use the same instrumentation, string instruments, not guitars, but cavaquinhos and mandolins and bandolins, and it all comes from Portugal as far as I can see. And there's this feeling of melancholy, which you also find in quite a few Brazilian songs. However, this is the original. This is Portuguese music. It's a fado. It's, as it were, the Portuguese version of a flamenco singer, I suppose. And it's much, to my ears, more interesting harmonically and melodically. And as I said, once more, Amália Rodrigues, born in 1920 and died in 1999, is the queen of this sort of music. She was also an actress as well, by the way. This is one of, if not the most famous of her recordings. Amália Rodrigues.
Aprendo-se a dizer.
which brings me to my own track. This has been a very dodgy month for me. Although I managed to go and perform at the Rye Jazz Festival, I've had a very strange condition where I have problem in getting enough puff as soon as I do anything like even getting dressed or going upstairs or going for a walk. And I think it must be something to do with an accident I had some time ago where I fell down on my back, and I think it's affected my lungs. We shall see, because I've had an x-ray and I'm seeing the doctor on Monday. But I'm really fed up with being like this. I don't like it. In any case, this is the track I've chosen. It's called LA to London. I actually wrote it for my friend James Torme to sing because it describes his current lifestyle. But I did my own recording of it, and I hope you'll enjoy it. As always, please, if you're interested in buying some 78s from me, I'd be delighted, because I don't have enough room for them all and they're clogging everything up. And also, of course, please spread the link to this website to all your friends who might enjoy the vast variety of music available on 78s from about 1900 to 1960. Apart from that, I look forward to speaking to you again next month, when hopefully I shall have had some treatment and will be feeling much better. Until then, as usual, au revoir.
LA to London, then London to LA. How soon the day's done, flying the hours away. I can't remember if £5 or dollar bills. Am I in Camden Town or Hollywood Hills? One day a freeway, next day the underground. And yet it's happiness I've found. This gypsy life just suits me fine, like autumn leaves or summer wine. 'Cause when I hold your hand in mine, I know I'm home, my sun will shine. Sun.